Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
The passage I'm going to read to you comes from the book of Deuteronomy, and if you're familiar with it, it's early in the Bible, and it's the words of Moses, and it is talking about the commandments and things that have happened, some of them in the wilderness. They've been wandering in the wilderness for about 40 years. The standard joke is, why did the Israelites wander in the wilderness for 40 years? The answer was, they didn't ask a woman for the directions. But they're wandering in the wilderness, and they're about to enter in. Now, the way we've been approaching this over the last 12 weeks or so, we've been moving chronologically through the Bible, sort of starting off with Adam and Eve and Genesis like this. And the answer is that Deuteronomy was a lost book for a while. It existed in the temple, and sometime during the time of King Josiah, about the 7th century B.C., after the north had been conquered, they open up some unknown places inside the temple, and they discover this book of Moses that's there, discover the book. And it's called Deuteronomy. And so even though the timing of the authorship and the events that are described there are earlier in history, but the time when it comes into the canon, when it becomes part of the Jewish understanding of what God tells them, is much later. It's much later. It's much closer to the time of the Babylonian exile. That's where this falls. And the passage immediately before where I'm about to read has been a passage of warning. It's a passage of saying, well, I'm about to send you into Canaan, but you've got to be careful here. You need to be careful, because if you're not careful, you're going to become like those people. All right? And you want to be very careful about that. And so the passage here is trying to remind them of the wilderness experience and what's really important really important to them. It's Deuteronomy 8. I'm going to read verse 1 and then 10 through 20. And I'm on page 165 if you'd like to read along in your pew Bibles. This entire commandment that I command you today, you must diligently observe and so that you may live and increase and go in and occupy the land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Then moving over to 10, you shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God. Say that again. Then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you. The word in Hebrew for testing could also be translated as refine. And the word, so it means works the other way. So when you hear the word, sometimes it's translated as refine, you could also drop in there test. Think about that. Test and refine. Refine and test. I think it's a beautiful word, because in test being in the end to do you good. And sometimes in being better, we have to be tested. And in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, my power and the might of my own hand has gotten me this wealth. Let me read that again. My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. If you do forget the Lord your God and follow other gods to serve and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish like the nations that the Lord is destroying before you. So shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The Israelites had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They were being refined and tested. And this passage here is this one about how you need to remember who you are and whose you are and what really ought to be important to you as you move into the promised land. And moving into the promised land, it is important that in the words that he uses here in this passage are not exactly what I'm going to ask you to repeat back to me, but it's what we just sang a few minutes ago. It's this idea of praise God from whom all blessings flow. Can you give that back to me? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And this passage goes through some reminders of that. Water, he doesn't mention manna, but manna was there. They weren't in Egypt anymore. They had experienced this, and they now are on this opportunity to move in. And Moses, speaking on behalf of God, is reminding us sort of human condition 101. Human condition 101. Because if we're not careful, when things are going well, when things all are lined up for us, all the decimal points, all the commas in Excel, and everything else like that, when it's all working for us, we tend to get to a place where we think it's all about us. We are the ones who've created this. We are the ones who have made it this way. Now, for those of you that haven't heard me use a baseball illustration, I regret that. I'm going to use one now. Is that okay? Baseball's the greatest game that was ever created. Come, amen? Don't I have an amen? All right, amen. And you've heard me use the idea before about people having been born on third base and think they hit a triple. You've heard me use that before. And sometimes what you have is the people that are born on third base think they got to third base on their own. It's all about them. They made it happen on their own. They were born on third base. I was so smart, I could pick out who my parents were going to be, and I could be born this color and this gender and this. No, of course not. Oh, I'm in charge of all of that, aren't I? No, of course not. And that's what God is attempting to remind us here in this passage out of Deuteronomy. It's reminding us that in both the good, in coming out of the bad and also coming out of the good, God is still the provider of that goodness. It's this doxology thing. Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Can you say that back to me? So it's this idea of remembrance. Roberta and I work off of a strategy that we're trying to bring the past into the present in anticipation of the future. That's part of what we're doing, okay? And what this passage is all about is a perfect example of that, where Moses is reminding the children of Israel what God has done in the past and what's going to happen to some extent in the future, and they need to be grateful and thankful for that, and not to get themselves all puffed up with themselves and their own self and God. Now, the children of Israel have had a rough experience. There are people here who were born in the wilderness. There are people who don't recall the whole experience that they had in Egypt, but they're about to go into this promised land. We celebrate Thanksgiving in part because we have this tradition that comes down to us from Plymouth, from the Pilgrims who arrived in Massachusetts in 1620, and they stopped in 1621 to pull this whole idea together. And they understood a wilderness. They had left England some 15, 20 years before that. They had spent some time in Holland hoping they would have religious freedom. And they understood what it was like to have an awkward experience. They did not have a very easy life. And the first year that they were ashore, half of all the people who came ashore died. half of all the people who came ashore died. And what did they want to do? And they do to God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Can you give that back to me?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Now, you might ask the question, why not Jamestown? Why didn't they do the same thing? It's 1607, I think, somewhere around there. It's like 13 years before. They had some awkward times and things like that. The reason that Jamestown didn't have Thanksgiving was that it was purely a commercial enterprise. It was a commercial enterprise designed to make money, to withdraw resources from North America and send them back to England. Whereas the Plymouth colony, and I acknowledge they have some warts, they did some things badly, but the Plymouth colony was set up as an outpost for people who wanted to exercise their understanding of who God was and what God was all about. It's logical to assume that people coming out of this awkward time, of this time of great pain, would remember who God was and how God had delivered them. Down in Jamestown, it's just a bunch of people trying to make money. Just trying to make money as best they can and do what they do. Now, it became a tradition in North America to remember this idea of Thanksgiving, and it scattered around. It wasn't always in November. It's September, October, November time frame. But they did it partially as a result of their response to what happened in Massachusetts in 1621. And in 1789, President George Washington was asked by Congress unanimously. Think about that. Congress asked a president unanimously to do something. Can we have an amen?
Amen.
And they said, we'd like you to remind us, we'd like you to issue a proclamation of thanksgiving. We'd like you to issue a proclamation of thanksgiving and say thank you for what has gone on. And George Washington would write these words, May the Father of all mercies scatter light and not darkness in our paths. Scatter light and not dark, and in his own time, due and way, everlastingly happy. Now, it's not quite exactly a doxology, but it's close. It's very close to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Can you say that back to me?
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
And you might sit there and go, well, hold it. I mean, yeah, but it's 1789. The war's been over 8 years. No big deal. What's the wilderness experience they just came through? And the answer is the U.S. Constitution. They had to spend about a year writing the U.S. Constitution and getting it approved. And you think sometimes we have tension in our society with Republicans and Democrats? Boy, there was no such idea of equal voice in the press. You would buy a newspaper just to condemn George Washington. You'd buy a newspaper just to condemn Alexander Hamilton. That's what you would say in there. And so what Washington had come through here in this time was a period of what were called Federalist and Anti-Federalist. And the tension was high on the House, the Congresses, the House of, I think the vote for pass the Constitution passed like by two votes. The House of Legislatures passed it. In Pennsylvania, it was a similar kind of thing. It was really a close call to pass the Constitution. And there was tension in the air, and people said, we'll trust you, because the people came down and promised that we would create a Bill of Rights. People trusted politicians in 1789. Wow. Can I have an amen? But they got together, and they said, we want to do this, and we want this to happen. And so it began to be a tradition for a couple of presidencies, three or four presidencies, where they announced this proclamation for us to have a Thanksgiving celebration in the November-ish time frame. But it slowly died away. And in 1863, Abraham Lincoln was asked to reinstitute. And before I get to what he reinstituted, I want to talk a little bit about Lincoln and his life, okay? Lincoln's life. For those on third base, he fully understand. Here was a man who had to go to work when he was 7 years old. 7 years old. His mother died when he was 9. He lost a job as a store clerk when he was 20. Abraham Lincoln couldn't hold a job as a store clerk when he was 20 years old. Tried to get into law school, didn't have the right amount of money, didn't have the right amount of education. He studied law on his own, but he couldn't get in to go do that. He ran for Congress 3 times before he was elected. Abraham Lincoln ran for Congress 3 times before he was elected. He ran for the Senate the first time, was defeated. Ran for the Vice Presidency the first time and was defeated. And 4 years after that was when he came back and was elected President of the United States. And in the pantheon of presidents of the United States, where does Lincoln fit? Pretty high up there, one of the top 1, 2, or 3. He's up there. And so he has had a life that includes these wilderness experiences. Is that a fair observation? And he's invited to have a Thanksgiving celebration. He says, you know, I think that's a good idea. I think that's a good idea. But before this terrible circumstance in a celebration, we need to remember who we are and maybe what got us to this terrible circumstance in 1863, 2 years into a terrible civil war that is just killing the country. It's just ripping it apart. Brother against brother, cousin against father, cousin, father against son. You get the drift. It's just a terrible situation. And he would write in the spring of 1863, inviting for a day of reflection, a day of deep reflection, before he would declare a Thanksgiving. He would write, "We have forgotten God, intoxicated with unbroken success. We have become too proud to pray to the God that made us." He encouraged Americans to abstain on that day from their ordinary secular pursuits and to unite in prayer. I don't know what you think. That sounds like to me sort of a praise God from whom all blessings flow. Can we have that back? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And it does sound like the Deuteronomy, doesn't it? When things were good, it was all about us. We were off on this grand manifest destiny. All these good things were happening to us. It was all about us. And then things began to fall apart. And we then need to issue a proclamation of Thanksgiving. And we do it during the middle of the bloodiest war that we would fight, the Civil War. I'm from the South originally. And in the South, you sometimes hear it called the War Between the States. Sometimes you hear it as the War of Northern Aggression. But it was a bloody, brutal war. And so there's some common elements here as to how it is that we stopped and thought about this in relation to the dark time. And that then set in tradition that we then celebrated Thanksgiving for the rest of the time as a country. Part of it by proclamation, the president would issue a proclamation. Then in 1939, the president issued a proclamation that Congress didn't like. Does that sound familiar to us? Okay. And they didn't like what he did, so they decided they wanted to institute a law as to how we would have 1941, December the 26th, 1941. On September the 1st, 1939, Germany invaded Poland. On December the 7th, 1941, Japan attacked us at Pearl Harbor. And on December the 8th, 1941, Germany declared war on us. Okay, we were in World War II. December the 26th, 1941, President Roosevelt issues a proclamation talking about Thanksgiving and when we're going to have Thanksgiving. Can you think of a dark time? Can you think of a dark time in which he was willing to step up and say, it's at this time and at this moment that we need to remember that God is with us. From God, all of our blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Come on, back to me.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Now, he didn't say we've forgotten God. He didn't go through all that stuff like Lincoln did. But it was important for us to know where it got started was from dark time. Started off, its crucible, it's where it was founded, where it got started, was from dark times, responding to dark times. And we can forget, just as God was saying in this particular passage through Moses, we can forget sometimes who God is when things are going so well. We were born on third base, but we hit a triple, didn't we? So easy for us to forget who God is. Success and prosperity can sometimes in and of themselves be very dangerous and very subtle as to what it ends up doing to our very hearts. During times of wealth and plenty, we often forget to be doxological, praising God, and neglect to be grateful for what we have. So I would invite us this next week, as we go through the week and everything that we do, I would say we need to keep uttering the words, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Can you say that back to me?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Jesus' story of this unbridled conceit, big word is hubris, but a lack of humility, in the Gospel of Luke. It's a powerful experience there. And Eugene Peterson, who paraphrases the Bible in a very beautiful, exquisite fashion, a Presbyterian pastor, he would give us his reading of what it was that Jesus would say. These are red-letter words. Jesus would tell them this story. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, "What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest." He said, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll gather in all my grain and goods, and I'll say to myself, 'Self, you've done well. You've got it made and can now retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life.'" Just then, God shows up and says, "Fool, tonight you die, and your barn full of goods, who gets it?" Then Jesus, "Self, and not with God. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow."
Praise God.
A week. This is a wonderful week of travel, wonderful week of eating and being with other people, wonderful week of just tremendous enjoyment that we can get out of this. My invitation for all of us here today is to truly understand that what we have is a blessing from God. It's so easy for us in our prosperity to get to a place where we think it's all about us. It's all about us. And this passage in Deuteronomy, Jesus in this passage in Luke, reminds us that humility, staying humble, reminding ourselves where our blessings come from, is a very good idea. That's the message for us this day. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God.
For us, be a beautiful week continuing to sustain relationships and celebrating all that we have. But let us never forget to be doxological, praising you in gratitude for all that we have and all that we are. Remind us to be thankful. This Thursday, the next Thursday, and all the days of the rest of our life, proclaiming your praise in all that we do. And all of God's children say,
amen.
Please stand.
Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.